very thankful to be here again tonight. You have heard much of the stories of Labrador, the second time that I've spoken there, but tonight it will be a different story altogether about a person that accepted the Lord Jesus. Sometimes in speaking, you know, there's those in the audience always wonder, when you got saved, now who you were, and you kind of calculate it up then and say, how old is he anyway? Well, I'm 61 years of age, and I was saved at the age of 11. So I'll speak on from there. We're going to read one verse together before we would proceed. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, a very well-known verse, verse 36, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now this verse, with many other verses, was read to me at the time that I gotten saved. You have heard me speaking about the little schoolhouse in Lancelot, Labrador, whereby the gospel was preached after he got in permission to do so. 50 years of the gospel coming to our area may not seem long to the areas around here whereby the gospel was preached for many, many years. 50 years, I suppose, is only a new work. But yet again, to me, it's going down in history now. But I'm thankful tonight to be here and tell you how this man was once a little boy, received the Lord Jesus. I can go back there 50 years ago in that little old Methodist schoolhouse. And I've told you already the conditions of today. There wasn't any electric lights like this. No central heating. It was the days when there was a little potbelly stove, the ring around it, in the middle, and we had the gas lantern pump lights to light the building. Every once in a while, there would be a man have to pump air into the pump lights to keep it going. And there was, it wasn't a very warm building, but Mr. Campbell be with us all that winter. I'm sure he found it quite a difference in Labrador than he found it in California, where he come from. But we owe him a great deal. But one night while preaching the gospel, as a boy of 11, I had a deep concern about my soul. And where would I spend eternity? And I trust tonight, if it be any here, that would be at the age of 11, or even older, that would have a concern about where will you be in eternity. I trust tonight that you'll understand that you need to be saved and born again. Know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. So at the age of 11 year old, not raised in anything knowing about the gospel at all, the place that I attended, gospel was not preached. The way of God's salvation was not uttered. Knowing Him as a personal Savior was not made known. But I am thankful for the gospel that came our way, and for the young man by the name of George Campbell, at the age of 28 years of old, age at that time, stood night by night throughout the whole winter month, preaching the gospel in the little village of Lancelot. So one night, while preaching the gospel, I have become very concerned. Even though not hearing nothing about the gospel, I became very concerned about where will I spend eternity. Mr. Campbell stood and preached the gospel one night, in the cold winter night of 1957, in the little village of Lancelot, and I have been coming very concerned about my soul. So tonight, on the way out of that little Methodist schoolhouse in the back room, I shook the hand of Mr. Campbell, but I was trying to bypass him to avoid him. But he stopped me, and he knew that I was concerned. And he said to me, calling me by name, he said, "Would you like to be saved?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "When would you like to be saved?" I said, "Now." So we come back into the little school while others went out. And he had a little conversation with me. And we sat down on a brown bench, but the third row on this side of the building, as where our brother Bob is now. We sat down together I didn't know nothing of the Scriptures. In fact, it wasn't read at all in our home. Sad to say, my father, who was in heaven tonight, saved and born again. For the time I could remember up to the present time of that time, he drank everything and every time that he could get a place to drink. Come home all night long under the influence of liquor. And as a little boy, I would stay up with my mother until my dad come home. But I'm thankful tonight that he saved both my parents is already now in heaven. Continue on as I sat down in that little brown bench as a little boy. And he always referred to me as a black-headed little boy. It's very obvious tonight, you can see, it's not like that. But I got down there by that bench, and Mr. Campbell went over the Scriptures with me and pointed me to many, many verses from the Scriptures, not really understanding of what he was telling me. But he came to this verse here. In fact, that I have his name already written alongside of him. He said, "He that believeth on the Son." And he asked me which part of this verse was I in. And I told him the part that I was in. The last part, "He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." I knew as a boy from that point that if I died in my sins, I would be in hell. And I knew that from the preaching that he preached, even though I have not gone there very long. And I want to say tonight, for any little boy that is here, and little girl that have come to the age of accountability, of knowing tonight, if you die in your sins, where would you be? There's nothing like accepting him and living a life to please him. I want to tell the little boy and the little girl, and even the older folk that is here tonight, 50 years of living for Christ will prove to anyone that it's real and that it is a reality of knowing your sins as being forgiven. So at that night, and down in that round bench in that little Methodist schoolhouse, before leaving, we both got down together, and I accepted the Lord Jesus as my own and personal Savior. Before leaving that room that night, I knew which part of the verse that I was in. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And tonight, I have everlasting life. And I want to present it to you tonight. Well, my story does not end there. I want to pass it on for help, maybe help to people here. And at that time, we have not gotten a lot of teaching in regards to the assembly truths. In fact, there was no assembly form up to this time. So as a young boy, I have two brothers older than myself. And in the denomination, no reflection on any tonight that would be here. In the denomination that I was born in, I had to be confirmed. So my mother dressed us up in the best of our clothes with my two brothers and a cousin of mine and all my equals of the village. Because of that time and the way of transportation, the bishop will only come in once of every so many years to confirm people. So it happened on this year. So I was dressed up and I was sent to the little schoolhouse. There was no church building in our area, as I have mentioned before. But there was a two-room school, and all the church appliances and things was placed in the front of the school and was closed by a large curtain. So I had to go up there and be confirmed. But when I went in that school, there was a side door come in from, like, the building here. The side door come in. When I came in that school, that place was packed, maybe twice as many or more people than is here tonight. When I entered the door, this big minister, a very big man, and all these things, he pointed to me and he said, "Come with me." So I walked in, up the aisle, and in the back of that room, there was a vestry room. And I entered the room with this minister, and I stood in front of him, and I looked up into his face to answer the questions that he asked me. And he said to me, he said, I understand that you go to those preachers that come here. He put a name on them because it was the name that he placed on those two preachers, Mr. Jice and Mr. Camel. So he called them Camelites and Jiceites. Well, he said, do you go to those people? I said, yes, sir. And I'm saved and born again. But he looked down on me, and he said, for those reasons, we cannot confirm you. So I had to leave as a little boy, walked out of that school, went home, and I was never confirmed, even though my two older brothers had to stay and get confirmed. So I went home and told my parents about what happened, and they got into a fuss, and a uproar started even the night during the time that the ministers was there, because they were going to mark our names off of the church roll that I belonged to. But I was very thankful at that time before my name, if it was ever written off of the church roll of life, was already written down in heaven. And I want to ask you tonight, where is your name written? Was never a better place to be written than the Lamb's Book of Life, and it will be accounted for in a coming day. And I am thankful tonight that I am saved. But in 1985, I had a phone call one day from a servant of the Lord, Jonathan Procopio. And he said to me, if you want to see Mr. Campbell again, would you please come to Vancouver? It was in the month of March, 1985. I got this call, and I wanted to see him before he died. Mr. Campbell died with cancer at the age of 58. So I took the journey to Vancouver. Even though I'm in Scotland tonight, from Vancouver to my place is still much further. So I've taken the journey to Vancouver, and I spent a couple of weeks there. And I stayed in the room the night by night by Mr. Campbell. I still want just one day to come to the end of his life's journey. I stood at the foot of his bed with a servant of the Lord, Gaius Goff from America, and a nurse from Lancelou who went there to visit him as well. I stood at the foot of his bed, and I watched him as he drew his last and went into eternity. I will not forget the words of his wife, Mona, who was from this area of Scotland. She kneeled upon the bed alongside of him. She quoted the words, Jesus drew near and went with them. And when she quoted those words to him, he drew his last breath, and he was committed by our brother Goff into eternity, into a place whereby he was longed to be. He spoke of heaven as he would speak of California and speak of the place that he have come and preached there in Scotland. I am very thankful tonight that I'm saved and born again. My wife with me here tonight, we appreciate being with you. We enjoy the kindness and the love of you folks. And I want to bring it back to our land and tell you how good and kind that you have been to us while our stay is being here. And I want to say to you young boys and young girls that is here tonight, don't go in for the pleasures of the sins of this world. They are bubbles that grow in front of you. While you grasp for them, everyone will break in front of you. But I want to tell you tonight about the love of Christ. And what it means of having him is a joy tonight to receive him. It's a joy tonight to live for him. And it will be a greater joy when the journey of life is closed, knowing your sins has been forgiven and it's heaven and home. I want to tell you tonight, as my brother was still continuing preaching of the gospel, don't leave this meeting tonight without knowing your sins has been forgiven. It'll be a journey of life from this day forward that you will never forget. It'll be a journey of joy. It'll be a journey of happiness. When you lay your head upon the pillow at night, it'll be a peaceful night, whereby if knowing if you wake not in the morning, it'll be heaven and home. I trust tonight as our brother will continue with the gospel preaching, that this night for in this place, in this community, in this country of Scotland, that you will accept the Lord Jesus as your home and personal Savior.